Hey everyone, it's Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith. And so far, this series is giving all of us powerful tools to share our faith. A faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. All right, here comes Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Daring to Imagine.
So, my imagination shapes my life, and imagination is essential to living by faith. Number three, third thing I've learned, great lives are built on great dreams. Great lives are built around great dreams. In my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of very great people. Some of them are famous, some of them are not famous, because fame and greatness have nothing to do with each other. You can be famous and not be great, and you can be great and not be famous. But in great lives, they're built around great dreams. What I've discovered is that nobody is naturally a great person. You don't just, pop out of your mommy being a great person. No, you become great by attaching your life to a great cause, a great purpose, or a great dream. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you out of yourself, to make you grow better than yourself, and that's what makes you a great person. Until you have a great dream, you will never be a great woman. Until you have a great dream for your life, you will never be a great man. If you don't have a great vision, if you don't have a great dream, it is impossible for you to be great. Greatness comes from what you attach yourself to. You need something bigger than yourself that pulls you out of your self-centeredness that makes you great. Now, during Daring Faith, I want to help you unlock your imagination. And I want to help you become a more great person. And I want you to dream and to visualize and to think about how God wants to use your career, how God wants to use your future, your finances, your family, your giving, your ministry, your career. And my prayer for you is actually this next verse on your outline, Ephesians chapter 1. As your pastor, I'm praying this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that his calling holds for you. Now notice this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind. What's he talking about there? The eyes of your mind. He's not talking about your physical eyes. He's talking about your imagination. He's saying, I pray that your imagination will come alive, and in faith, you will be able to see God's dream for your life, God's vision for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life, God's calling on your life. God has a calling for you. Most people miss their calling in life. Why? Because they're following their dream instead of God's dream. I'm not interested in you following your dream. I'm interested in you in following God's dream. I could make up a dream for my life. I could say, I dream of being a rock star, and it would be a waste of my life because God didn't wire me to be a rock star. God said, I want to give you my dream for your life, and that's your calling. And he says, when you understand what I've made you for, what I've built you for, what I have a vision for your life, then you're going to have hope. You will know the hope that his calling holds for you. If you want significance in your life, if you want satisfaction in your life, if you want fulfillment in your life, here's what you got to do. You got to stop following your dream for your life, and you got to start following God's dream for your life. Because God's dream, when you fulfill it, you go, this is it. This is what I was made to be. It fits. I know my niche. I know why I'm alive. Now, if you can't imagine your calling, if you can't dream God's dream, you're not really living. You're just existing. And you're just going through life, and without a dream, you're dying. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:18, where there is no vision, what does it say? The people perish. Circle that. The people perish. I tell pastors, when a church has no dream, where there's no vision in the church, the people go to another parish. Now, as I said, I want you to discover God's dream. And one of the things that I told you that during Daring Faith, I'm going to push you. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to challenge you to discover God's dream for your life. And that leads me to number four, the fourth thing I've learned, and it's this. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. It's exponentially bigger. It's far larger. It's eternally significant. You know, there are a lot of dreams. You could have big dreams and they wouldn't be significant. You could dream of being a millionaire by a certain age or dream of being a billionaire. For what purpose? Just, do you think God put you on this planet to live for yourself? Of course not. Of course not. God's dream is for your life is bigger than your dream. Let me show you what the Bible says, Ephesians 3. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. Notice, far more than you could ever imagine. God can do that in your life. Or guess or request in your wildest dream. Now, let me stop there. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty big dreamer. I've never been accused of small dreaming. I've never been accused of being a tiny thinker. I have big visions in life. And yet God says, Rick, think of the greatest thing I could do in your life. Think of the greatest way I could bless your life. Dream the biggest dream, the greatest vision, and I can top that. You have no idea what God wants to do in your life. You are living such a small fraction of what you're capable of. You are doing with your life such a small portion of what God wants to do in your life. God's dream for your life is enormous. It's big. He says, I can do more than you can imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. The Bible says he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. And by the way, the next verse after that says, so glory to God in the church, glory to God in Jesus, glory to God in all generations, and glory to God forever and ever. We just sang that. That's this verse. We just sang this, glory to God forever. Now, I want you to write this down in your outline. God wants me to dream big. Write that down. God wants me to dream big. He wants me to use the imagination that he gave me. Because dreaming big honors God. It shows faith. It shows trust. Now, you should base your dream not on what you think you could do, but you should base your dream on what you think God could do. I remember many years ago when we bought the Lake Forest property, and the word got out in Orange County that a church was going to go buy 120 acres. Let's put this in perspective. That's bigger than Disneyland. This property is bigger than Disneyland. And people said, what kind of church is this? Going to go buy 120 acres of Orange County property. Who do those people think they are? And when I heard that, I said, that's the wrong question. The question is not, who do we think we are? It's who do we think God is? That's the real issue. Now write this down. Let the size of my God determine the size of my goal. I must let the size of my God, not the size of my gifts, but the size of my God determine the size of my goal. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. Number five, the fifth thing I've learned about dreaming and vision and imagination is this: doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. Now, doubt and fear neutralize what God wants to do in your life. You see, it takes courage to imagine. Why? You know why most people don't imagine? Because they're afraid of failure. When you were a kid, you had a great imagination. Children have a massive amount of imagination. But the older you get, the more your imagination grows rusty. And you stop imagining what things could be, and you just start living the way they are. And you get stuck in the status quo, which is Latin for the mess we're in. And you don't imagine what they could be, you just imagine, or you just think about what it is. And you stop using that imagination muscle in your life. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. And that's why it takes courage. And by the way, what is courage? Courage is doing the thing you fear the most. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. You don't need courage. Courage only happens when you're scared to death. Courage is when you're scared to death, but you say, I'm going to do it anyway. In the history of Saddleback Church, every great thing that we did, I was scared to death to do. Scared to death to do. I just said, we're going to do it anyway. Why? Because I'm not going to about to let fear dominate my life. So I do it moving ahead trembling, moving ahead in fear, and I just do it anyway. And God shows up. And God will show up in your life. Courage is when you do the thing while you're afraid. You do the right thing. You say, well, should I wait till all the fear is gone? It's never gonna go away. You just do it while you're afraid, and then it goes away. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. You have to move against your fears, and sometimes you have to ignore all the insecurities you're feeling to say, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna do it even though I'm scared to death and I'm insecure and I might fail and blah, 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 blah. James chapter 1. If you need wisdom, you wanna know God's dream, vision for your life? If you need wisdom, just ask God for it because he's generous and he enjoys giving it to everyone. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's driven back and forth and tossed about by the wind. Such doubters cannot decide anything that they do, so they should not imagine, there's that word, they should not imagine receiving anything from the Lord. You gotta believe and you gotta banish doubt. You know what you need to do? You need to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. The problem we have today is we do the exact opposite. We believe our doubts, and we doubt our beliefs. No, doubts are meant to be doubted, beliefs are meant to be believed. So you believe your beliefs and you doubt your doubts. Your imagination in your life is either gonna be governed by fear or it's gonna be governed by faith, and that's your choice. Now, if you let your imagination be governed by fear, you're gonna go around freaked out, stressed out, worried all the time. And you're gonna worry about what other people think, and you're gonna worry about, are you gonna have enough, and you're gonna worry about this and this and that. And when you allow fear to control your imagination, you live a miserable life. And instead, if you say, I'm not gonna allow fear to dominate me, I'm gonna allow faith to dominate me, and I'm gonna trust in God, all things are possible with God, then your imagination talks about what could happen, the good things that might happen, and your imagination moves you ahead. Doubt will destroy you. Now, there's a great story in the Bible about a man who had a son who was sick. And he comes to Jesus, and we pick up the story in Mark chapter 9. And the man says to Jesus, please heal my son if you can. And Jesus replied, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. The father replied, I do believe, but help me not to doubt. Now, I love this passage because I love the authenticity. I love the honesty of this guy. He goes, I believe, I just got some doubts. In one of the passages in translations, he says, Lord, I do believe, help me with my unbelief. And do you know what Jesus' response was to this guy when he said, what do you mean if? All things are possible if you believe. And the guy says, well, I do believe, help me with my doubts. You know what Jesus said? He says, good enough. And he heals the guy right there on the spot, on the spot. You know, I wish I had learned a long time ago. I wish somebody told me that I don't have to have all my doubts resolved and all my questions answered in order to follow Jesus Christ and enjoy all the benefits of it. I've been walking with Jesus Christ now for over 50 years. I still have questions. I got a list of them. I still have doubts. When I get to heaven, you can get in line behind me. I've got all my questions to ask Jesus. Jesus, why did you do this? Why did you do that? I doubted this. I doubted this. I didn't think this was a good thing you did here. And on and on and on. And I'm just gonna go through my laundry list of questions and doubts. Why? Because I believe, I just have some doubts. Now, if I had thought that I had to answer all my doubts and all my questions, I still wouldn't even be a Christian. What I learned, listen very closely, is I don't have to understand something for me to benefit from it. I don't have to have it all figured out for me to benefit from it. For instance, I don't understand how internal combustion works. It doesn't stop me from driving a car. I don't understand the chemistry of digestion. It doesn't stop me from eating a steak. I don't understand how there are literally colored pictures flying through the air right now and going through my body and yours, but it doesn't stop me from turning on a TV and watching them. How in the world does that happen? I don't know. How can I pick out my phone and talk to somebody on the other side of the world? I can't explain that to you. But I don't have to explain it to enjoy it. Does that make sense? And I don't have to have all my doubts answered and all my questions resolved in order to live by faith. Lord, I believe. Help me with my doubts. God says, that's good enough. And so doubt will destroy you if you let it keep you from imagining and being all that God wants you to be. So this guy comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. Have you ever cried out to God that way? Have you ever cried out to God and said, Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. You need to do that this morning if you haven't. Now, one of the things that happens because of doubt and because of fear and because of worry is vision begins to dissipate in your life. You get a dream, but you leak. And your dream dissipates. A lot of people start off in life with a great dream, a great goal, a great vision, a great objective, a great cause and a purpose to live their life for. But over time, it begins to dissipate and drain out and leak out of their life. Just much like you buy a balloon with helium in it, you put it up in your house, and 3 days later, nobody's actually poked it. It didn't all leak out at once. It just started to leak out a little bit at a time, and pretty soon it's droopy. Some of you have a flat tire emotionally, and you got a flat tire mentally because you're not dreaming anymore. You're not believing anymore. And so what you have to do is you have to re-energize the dream periodically. You have to refuel the dream or you run out of gas.
What a great message today from Pastor Rick. There's something I always can use in my own life after listening to this show. All right, would you like to step out of a life of ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith? Then please order the Daring Faith DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith study kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to him without fear and come to him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like he used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust him in all things. So get this kit today.
You know, today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we will send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit. And it has 6 video sessions and a workbook, and that's our way of saying thanks for your gift. So go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.